want to show us where we are today in the heavens. The sun is in Aquarius, and our moon is in Taurus. And this is the most changeable of signs in the... So, there's a lion, the face of a man, a bull, and the face of an eagle. But it has lots more explanations behind it. This is the most changeable of all the signs, because we see the bull, but we know that no bull is allowed inside the gate of Israel. He was killed outside the gate, actually the priesthood, that was their sacrifice. And since we are all priests, the priest over the house that you live in, you're that priest, you get to choose. And I think that's so beautiful. Of course, we have priests without that God places as an overseer, like, I suppose. We call them pastors. Anyway, this is where we are, and this is the one that changes the most. It changes from the bull to the from that raging, storming bull attitude. And if you've ever been around a bull, you know what I'm talking about. I was raised on a farm, so a lot, and my grandfather had a bull, and he was fierce. I didn't get in his way. But now, the heifers, the female cows, were more gentle unless they had a calf. If they had a calf, now they would hurt you if you petted their calf. And Lord, I love the little white-faced calves. I'd lay my little face up against their little face, you know, and love on them. They're just docile. They're so completely different from what they will be when they grow up to be wild and crazy and running the show, so to speak. And then that bull, that calf, in his last change, becomes a seraphim. And that's someone or some places in us that we totally give to the Father in our will. It's yours, Lord. It's the totally broken determination of our willpower. You know, we make up our minds sometimes in our life, especially when we're younger, we determine certain things. And God shows us that sometimes those determinations will get us into a world of trouble. So we learn to have that dealt with and looked at. Over in John, the first chapter, it gives us four kinds of wills that is so beautiful. Of how man is born, so few born just of the will of God, so to speak. And that's speaking of us incubating certain ideas and thoughts and allowing those to be born. Not just natural birth, because if you just go there, then you'd leave a lot of things out. Well, I'm just going to share for a few minutes this morning, and I think I'll ask Morgan to come. It got pretty warm in here to me. Is everybody warm? We've been dealing a little bit, or I have, when I share, on the foundation of God. And this shared last week about him. He says he will thoroughly purge his floor. So I just kind of wanted to look at that word more and see exactly what he was saying. And we found that it means the foundation has to be sure, and that it means like to winnow, to cleanse perfectly, but to keep it clean. The scripture tells us he places us in our garden. Each of us have a garden growing within us, just like each of us have a river that is always flowing within us. And sometimes we dam it up and don't let the river flow and things don't get watered. And sometimes we don't keep our house. If you're a woman and a housekeeper of any kind, you know you can clean your house, but it is a constant job to keep it clean. You've got to be walking through, picking up all the time, dealing with something that needs to be put in its place, and everything should have a place. That's just not what I think. God's such a God of order, he didn't even allow certain colors to be next to each other. That's how orderly he was, because those colors next to each other will violate the eye. It's, go to town sometime and see people in Walmart, and I can't believe they would go to Walmart dressed that way. I mean, I wouldn't care if they do wear pajamas, by the way, to Walmart, but the colors that they put together, I mean, and you're going, okay, how can you be spiritual and not even care about your outer man at all? Because that's what people see. So it's kind of important that you have a little grooming or a little care about yourself. And the scripture just teaches that all the way through. He says, I'm going to place you in the garden to dress it. That means to build it, to look at it, to edify it, to keep it beautiful, to dress it, and to keep it dressed. Can you get that? So it is a constant dealing, like Johnny opened up with. It's something that each person is dealing with constantly, not out of drudgery. It's a wonderful thing to be able to see something in a different light. Just kind of remove yourself from a situation, and I think Terry said something about that, and looking at it from another angle. Not how does it just affect you personally, but how does this affect everybody involved? And then we can move out of selfishness and self-pity if we can see it from other angles and avenues. So I think it's wonderful that the Father made us human. I kind of like my humanity. Sometimes I would like to erase some things, but it's what I need to go through. Because humanity is what manifests that great Christ within us. If he had wanted us to be all Christ from the very beginning, he could have made us that way. Robots. He did not want robots. He wanted a love affair with people that loved him back. It was a two-way street. Thus, we have marriage between male and female. And yes, it takes a male and female to make the marriage, if you follow the spiritual laws. Now, you can justify it and change it and fix it however you want to, but you still have to go back to your foundation. Hebrews says a beautiful thing, I think, in the 9th chapter and 23rd verse. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. See that you make all things after the pattern. And what was the pattern? Well, we have the tabernacle. And that tabernacle wasn't just a structure back then in Israel, it's you. He lives within you. And you can choose where you put him. You can keep him in your outer court if you choose. Or you can receive him into your holy place with the eating of the showbread and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the sweet-smelling savor that is offered on the altar of incense. Or you can walk into the holiest place of all before the mercy seat. So that's all up to you. And we see these levels in Christendom today, people living in certain places and never moving. Well, I kind of like to get into that place, the holiest place of all, where there is a one-on-one, face-to-face, me and you. I do not need an intercessor. He is my intercessor. And then I have a face-to-face relationship that nobody else can touch. You get your own. Everybody can have their own. He's not selective. He wants each person to make that choice. It's up to you. So, let's see. There's one more scripture I wanted to read before I get up from here. Now, the things which we've spoken, this is the sum. How do you get a sum? You add things together. Oh, my goodness. It's such a mathematical thing. We add the Christ to ourselves. We then subtract certain things after we've added the Christ. Those things that are left, we multiply, and then we divide. It's just beautiful how he's working in mathematical equations in us all the time. Awesome. Okay. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. And he's not talking about somewhere outside of you. You are heavens. You are the heavens. Just got to know that. It's wherever your heaven is within you. It is Christ within you, the hope of glory. If you're looking for Christ somewhere else, you're going to be in sad shape. He lives and breathes, and your every breath is his. We don't always recognize that. We forget it. But breath is important. If you couldn't get your breath, you'd be thinking about getting it, I promise you. Okay. A minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. So that tells me each of us have something to say about the tabernacle that we live in. He says, take heed how you build. You want to build on wood, hay, or stubble, or the precious stones, gold and silver. Those are the redeemable things that are divine. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is a necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve to the example and the shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. So, to me it's simple. We just follow that pattern. And if you think he wasn't orderly, go back and read in Exodus both accounts of how the tabernacle was to be built. Yeah, I mean, it was to the T, the measurements, the colors, the cloths that was to be used. You know, you study for years and can't get it all down, but the study to me of the goat's hair was the most beautiful study I guess I've ever done. That goat's hair speaks of the death to self in each individual, and the women were the ones who spun the goat's hair to make that covering, and they spun it. Actually, it was like what you and I would call braiding hair. They plaited it in a certain weave on the back of the live goat. So that has to be even life in that goat nature that we have. To me, that is awesome that they could do that. What kind of training did that take to teach them how to spin that fabric on the back of that live moving goat? And you know the goat nature, it's not going to be still. If you tell it to be still, it's going to do something else because it's a stubborn animal. So it took quite a lot of skill, understanding, and love to spin that goat's hair on the back. So it's important that we deal with negative things as well as positive things within ourselves. Can you imagine? I remember braiding my girl's hair, and to get a child to be still. I mean, you need a golden bat or something. Be still, you know, because they move their little head and all this stuff. So just imagine a goat. I think that's all I'll share this morning. I'll have Morgan come share his part. Or whomever. It's not closed to anybody. He'll return in a second. Oh, there he is.
Displayed here. It has been taught on before, but it hasn't been done lately. And I found an old publication that I had printed off that does it pretty succinctly and with brevity. So now I'm not going to go over all of them. What I'm going to do is start with the elf, and then go to Shin.
You need to show me that again, because I missed it out in the head.
Elf.
Aleph, yeah.
Yeah, to Shin. Okay. I can't get it off my mind, so I guess I need to say it. Somebody said something about the political atmosphere that we're in right now. I tend to go back to Hebrew law in that respect. Any candidate, in my opinion, that feels it necessary to attack and a character assassinate another is unworthy.
That's right. Makes them all laugh.
In Hebrew law, character assassination was the same thing as murder.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so we're going to start with
Alif.
Alif, Alf. I'm going to call it Alf because it's from the Phoenician, it's alphabet. Mm-hmm. But anyway, traditionally, first, in quotations, sacrificial ox and 1,000. As the first of all the holy letters, the symbol of God's oneness and omnipotence, Alf is a 3-in-1 presentation. Its upper right segment consists of a yod, or yud, depending how you want to say it, the first letter in the name of the divine. All right, so that's right there.
Oh, the yod is down here.
Yeah, there's another one down there. There's two. Yeah. Anyway,
All right, I hadn't seen that before.
The second yod in the elf's lower left segment signifies the creator resident within his creation. The central diagonal connecting pillar is the vow. It's a symbol of transformation. So Alf thus represents the process of spiritual transformation from human to superhuman, and is linked with the belief in absolute monotheism, that there is but one true living God. So really, in the first letter there, you have the, it's everything all in one.
Wow.
I guess you could say that that's the body, that's the soul, and that's the spirit.
Wow. Remember that, Kate. That's good. We use that.
All right. The next one, Bet. It's translating literally as house. Bet is the first letter of the first word in the Hebrew Bible, in the beginning. So, also the first letter in the first word of any Jewish blessing, as in Baruch Hashem, which is blessed is the name of God. Bet symbolizes the duality and the plurality of creation, the two worlds of the Jewish faith, this world that we're living in, and the world to come. And it emphasizes the fact that our preeminent task in this world is to prepare for the world to come. Now, I guess, I mean, that's a little esoteric, but I think that what they're getting at there is that, you know, like Jesus said, to be in the world but not of it. So I think that's what they're meaning. Alright, so that's Bet. And then the next one is Gimel. So it's A, B, G in this alphabet. It's not A, B, C. traditional meanings are prize, reward, fund. Esoterically, this is a symbol for kindness and of completion. It's standing for the Creator's overwhelming and eternal benevolence or mercy. So that's Gimel. The next one is Dalet. It literally means door, and it also means weakness. It represents dimensions in space and time. The four physical directions, north, south, east, and west, and the metaphysical four worlds, emanation, creation, formation, and action. Okay, so that's Dalet. The next one is, well, it's got, it says hey here, but it's, I think it says het there.
No, it says hey.
H-E-I.
Oh, okay. I can't see it good out from here. It says the Spirit of the Lord. It symbolizes divinity and gentility. This letter appears twice in the name, in the full name of God, and together with Yod forms the divine name Yah. According to tradition, the world to come was created through the utterance of the letter Yod. This world was created through the sound of He, which is pronounced as a mere exhalation of breath. requiring little movement from the lip or tongue. The next one is vav or vow. Traditionally, this symbolizes humanity and the restoration of judgment. As the third letter in the Hashem, the holy name, vow represents completion, redemption, and transformation. It is the letter of continuity, uniting heaven and earth. Mm-hmm. When used with certain vowels, as I, the probably pronunciation of the name of God, vow can be an almost silent letter, more approximating a vowel than a consonant, which is interesting because the Hebrew alphabet has no vowels. The soft vowel-like vowel denies validity of the harsh-sounding Jehovah as an English translation for the Hebrew name of God. As the letter Yod is also a so-called half-vowel, with the W and both H's uttered softly, may be closer to being correct as a possible pronunciation of the infallible name. Also, that is, whenever that's you see that pictured, it's also represented as a keyhole.
Wow, I hadn't heard that.
Okay, the next one is, did you have a question?
Okay. I have a comment.
Okay, go ahead.
It's also, it means, it kind of, it's a connector, mm-hmm. and it also is implicated in the nail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that before too. Yeah.
And there's a really awesome video about, this may be aside too long, I don't know, but the, you know, when the Pharisees got so upset when Yeshua put the, are you going there? Because I don't want to go there if you are.
No, go ahead.
When they put the his sentence on top of the cross, mm-hmm. okay, it said, Jesus, or Yeshua, King of the Jews.
Right.
Okay. Well, I used to always wonder why they got so upset. And what it was is because I thought, well, big deal. You know what I mean? But this enlightened me to the fact that when in Hebrew, they don't, how we use spaces in English to differentiate between the words. Well, in Hebrew, they smushed them all together and just made the letters capital.
Really?
So, it was spelling Yahweh, YH, or the Tetragrammaton.
Right.
The YH, VH, or WH, whatever. And so, there it was in their face, and they were like, oh, no, you can't do that. Because it was, well, And the letters...
Sacrilegious to them.
Right. Yeah. And the letters were saying to them, Yahweh. And Yeshua means Yah, salvation. So they were saying, it said to them, Yeshua, Yah, salvation. Behold the hand, behold the nail. Because each word, each letter meant a... phrase to them. So
sure.
It was preaching the gospel. It was right to them and declaring him, Yeshua, as Yah's salvation, which was
ironic.
Yes.
In their face. So
well,
like,
They did it.
It's like, okay.
Yeah, they did it to themselves.
Right.
I've always seen, and I mean, I know this flies in the face of what was said earlier, but I guess there's different ways of looking at things. You know, I don't think Jesus came to bring peace. He came to bring religious destruction.
Yes, he said so.
He came to bring what?
Religious destruction.
Yes,
I mean, he's brother against sister. Yes, he did.
Sometimes in order to have peace, you have to have pieces. And that's what he did. Yes. So.
Absolutely.
Thank you for letting me show.
Oh, sure.
That's beautiful. I'm glad you did. Made me remember when I was studying the name. We had an ancient thing, I think Bill gave it to us, Johnny's brother, about the name Pernell. It means the nail. Mm. So that last name does. So I thought, oh man, that is so beautiful.
That is.
Another star I can stick somewhere.
I didn't know that. That's pretty
It was written.
Well, like I said, there's a lot of characters to get through, and thankfully this gives, for the most part, gives pretty short descriptions. But if somebody else, you know, like her, has further knowledge or whatever, sure. I just wanted to, you know, you always teach that best, which you most need to know, and apparently I need to know this, so I'm going to share it with all of you.
All right, Morgan.
Zayin is the next one. Zayin, whatever. I mean, you know, none of us speak Hebrew, so we don't really know how to pronounce
it. Say it. Perfect. It's hard.
It means a spear or male appendage. It's closely linked with the mystical number 7 and all of its many connotations. Zayin signifies spiritual struggle as well as spiritual sustenance. So I guess, you know, it's kind of all in one. It separates, or it's what you would call a dualistic meaning. Okay, next one is Chet. Looks remarkably
like, hey. It looks like this one right here.
Yeah, it does.
Except it's closed.
It's closed. That's the difference.
The Chet is the traditional symbol of life. That's interesting because that's very similar to Japanese and Chinese. But anyway, and it's also the traditional symbol, ironically, of sin. It is also the sign of transcendence and of divine grace, pointing to the possibility that a human being can be transcended the limitations of physical existence.
That's good.
The next one is Tet. It's meaning to sweep out by judgment. Tet epitomizes goodness and humility. The objective goodness, which it is the Creator's prerogative to define and delineate, not humankind's. So I guess you could say that goes to talking about divine love as opposed to human love, you know. Loving in a way that is all that the person or the being needs for their growth. You know, not loving something and protecting it in such a way that you end up killing it.
Stunning it.
Smothering it.
Well, and I love this story. There's a story about what, you know, they called Buddha when he was a child, and his father was wealthy, very wealthy. He was a prince. And they owned silkworm farms. They ran that business, which, especially back then, was treasured, secret, guarded stuff. I mean, they'd kill you over that. So, anyway, he had gotten one of the worms that was in a cocoon, and he could see it, you know, trying to struggle to get out of it. And So he decided he took a little knife and cut a little slit in it so that it could get out. Well, of course,
it died.
And his father explained to him, he's like, well, you can't do that. You have to let things go through their own transformation.
Right. That's exactly what your daddy has been saying about this time and age when we hear of parents being afraid to correct their children because they might destroy something in them. They're actually destroying them by not correcting them.
Right. Absolutely.
It's amazing. Don't you all agree when you're hearing this?
No, it's awful.
You can't say to a child, everybody gets a trophy. That's ridiculous to me. That's not reality. Mm-mm. And we have to learn to fail sometimes. It's okay.
Well,
how can you be prepared for the world?
It's something that I suppose is just going to have to, walk through its paces. Some of it has to do with the change of ages.
Mm-hmm.
You always have some transitional issues when that happens. The most important things that happen in the Bible always happen around the change of an age. Always have.
Well,
Abraham,
this will change because they're even talking about now how parents are needing to connect with their children. And I'm not talking about with electronics, sitting down at dinner, having a conversation with them,
really?
Limiting their time with
but
there's coming aware that this electronic age has been a good thing, but it's also been a bad thing.
Well,
so
it's like anything else new, Terry.
Yeah.
It's new, it'll take some time for everybody to, to get everything all balanced out. So.
Right. Well, this, according to scripture and teaching, Aquarius is the most rebellious age.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
Of all the ages.
Well, it appears to be a water sign, but it is not
a water sign. No, it's an airhead.
Anyway, it's a time of transformation, basically. Going to learn a lot of truths and spiritual freedoms that we haven't really ever experienced, at least in the last 10,000 years. So, with that, there's going to be, people are going to go one way and other people are going to go another way. Literally, right there, is what we're looking at.
The yud.
Yeah. Literally means hand, and symbol of the Jew. It also means monument or share. Although the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, yud contains as much meaning as the rest of the Hebrew alphabet combined. Yud signifies creation itself, and all of the metaphysical processes, and on its own, stands as an important symbol for the Creator. The next one is Kaf. This translates directly as palm of the hand or tree, and is the symbol of the crown of crowning accomplishment, with a dual meaning that encompasses both the beginning and the ending. Kaf also relates to the principle of the four crowns: priesthood, kingship, the Torah, and the Word of God. Word of God, and a good name. Next one is Lamed, meaning literally to learn. This is the sign of wisdom and of purpose. Central letter of the alphabet symbolizing the King of Kings and the Supreme Ruler. Next one is Nun. Can be taken to mean gaffing hook for fishing.
You missed the mem, honey.
No, I did. I skipped the mem, sorry. That's one of the mother letters there. All right, mem. Traditionally, mem has several direct meanings. Waters, people, nations, languages, tongues. It is the mystical symbol of the revealed and of the concealed. Also the first letter in the names Moshe, which is Moses, and Mashiach, anointed one, equated by some with a coming Messiah. Moses was given the revealed evidence of the Creator's sovereignty over his creation. The Messiah represents the concealed part of the celestial rule to which humanity submits in faith alone. Okay, so the next one is Nun. It can be taken to mean gaffing hook for fishing and to waste away. It is a letter sometimes used as a substitute letter in order to disguise a name. In its mystical sense, Nun represents everlasting faithfulness and the emergence of the soul. Just as the soul is a spark of the divine, so is God's grace available to all. Okay, the next one. I'm not sure how to say that one. I guess so. Samak means to trust, depend upon, and support. It symbolizes divine support and protection and is associated with the process of memory. This important letter of the alphabet also depicts abundance and completeness.
It also has to do with the womb. I studied that one.
Yeah, a lot of times you can look at these and they kind of just, their way that they're designed gives you some idea of what is behind them. So the next one is Ayin, I guess. This means eye, wellspring, source, or center, and is linked with the Egyptian eye of Horus. It is therefore the symbol of perception and insight of the physical eye and of the spiritual eye. It illustrates symbolically that the human eye can be taken as a microcosm of the universe.
Would that be the third eye then?
Sounds
well,
like
sure.
It.
I mean, sure. Yeah.
I would think exactly.
Yeah. I mean, because that's where.
Good point.
Since you know they're using Horus, well, that's the third eye. So I guess that corresponds with the chakra thing.
Yes.
Okay, the next one, I guess it has its pay, P-A-Y, P-E-Y. It means mouth. This letter represents both speech and silence and is closely linked with the art of healing. The ultimate purpose of creation is for humankind to learn to sing the praises of the Almighty and to study the Torah. Tazid, I guess.
Where are you?
Okay, I'll take that. As the first letter in the word, it means righteous man. It stands for righteousness and humility.
It's not good. She said it's not good.
I can't see it. I couldn't see it good.
Oh, I thought you meant it wasn't a good one.
Yeah, it's good.
But although every one of these expresses righteousness in a uniquely individual way, true righteousness can only exist in God. So, I guess, you know, it's like Jesus telling the Sadducees and Pharisees what he told them. I'm not going to repeat it again, so I said it last week.
Well, you said, I didn't hear it.
He said, you're literally translated, he told them that their righteousness was as filthy menstrual rags.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Why don't we discuss some of these before you go on, because there's so much to say.
Well, there is. I mean.
You aren't going to be able to cover them all anyway, are you?
No. Okay, well, we can discuss. I can stop here.
Well, what was it you were saying, Deborah? Which letter was it? To me, that bears repeating.
The Vav.
The Vav, yes.
Yeah, just that it's the connector and it implicates the nail.
Oh, yeah. I wrote notes on it, so. That's important. Where did you hear your teaching?
Well, I've studied Hebrew off and on, but there's a video out on YouTube. We could watch it later if you want to, that talks about that. But also, I think the year that we're in is connecting, it implicates that Vav. I don't remember exactly how. But I think what I've seen in it is the connection between the heavens and the earth, the connector. It's the stake that
pillar.
Secures the heavens and the earth. And I'm sure I don't know the fullness of that, but it's just a little peek I'm seeing, you know. So is that what you were asking?
I just wanted to hear it again, because
yes.
That's the first time I heard that.
You want me to tell you the thing I shared earlier again?
If you want to, yeah.
Oh, just if that's what you were asking.
Yes, I'm interested, you know, because...
I'd love for us to look at it if somebody has a way to show it, but the words were all smushed together, so they were capitalized, mm-hmm. which the capital letters ended up being the Tetragrammaton, which mm-hmm. is what the Jews did not want to have in writing, so they said you can't do that.
Yeah.
But it was also saying to them, through the letters that were capitalized, that here is Yeshua. And Yeshua means Yah's salvation. And it was saying, behold, through the Yud.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hand, wherever, YH, let's see, that's why it'd be good to watch it. Anyway, YH and W or VH was saying, behold the hand. And behold the nail.
Mm-hmm.
So it was saying to them, it was presenting to them basically the gospel in their face and declaring Yeshua as Yah's salvation.
Yes.
And there they were killing him. You know? So
God
he
is
came
awesome,
unto his own and then did not.
Yeah.
Well, it's just
thought
ironic.
They were so smart.
I mean, you would, and I'm sure that some did, you would think that the more spiritual-minded Sadducees and Pharisees that would...
They did.
Well, I know, but I mean, instead of being like, you know, no, 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 they'd be like, oh, well, this is, you know, this is what was written. This
absolutely.
Is, you know,
yeah, and
this is the lamb that was slain before the foundation.
Oh, no, their
right.
ego got in the way.
Well, which is what, who was it that gave him... his burial, his tomb?
Joseph of Arimathea.
Yeah, wasn't he a Pharisee or a Sadducee? He was
I'm
one.
Not sure. I know he was a very wealthy merchant, but I don't know if he was one of...
Oh, I thought he was. I thought he was one of the undercover.
Joseph of Arimathea owned 10 mines in Britain before Britain was colonized by the Romans.
Oh, okay. So, but I know that some of the Pharisees and Sadducees did come to believe in him,
well,
and probably
sure,
at
sure,
that point,
yeah.
actually,
yeah.
when they saw the
they
whole,
made a mistake.
Yeah, they made a mistake, which was actually a planned event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really wasn't a mistake.
No, it wasn't.
Well, it backfired on them with it,
mm-hmm.
the outcome of it. So,
well, I'm gonna stop there for now because there's a lot more to go through.
I think it would be good, since we're touching on this, to take several Sundays. And I have a book called The Siddur,
mm-hmm.
and he takes every word. Now, he's more elaborate than this.
Well, I didn't want to get into all that.
Yeah, no, we didn't.
Okay, I wanted to give us a brief summary so that it would be something more fresh in our little brains. And then maybe we can expound upon that afterwards.
That's how I feel.
That way people,
it'd be great.
It's not, so you're not taking in so much and, you know, spending an entire hour on Elf, which you could. I mean, you could probably spend a week on it.
Wow, that's
too
long.
But you know what I'm saying? At least this way we'll have something somewhat fresh in our minds. And then if, you know, someone else wants to elaborate, then everybody will have at least some basis of understanding.
I wasn't thinking of an hour, just a few more minutes sometimes on each word, because all of us have had a little teaching, and then there's been some teaching.
Well, that's why I decided to do this, because this hasn't been gone over in, I don't know when.
Years.
A couple of years.
So. What were you going to say?
I have a question, because this is really interesting. I don't know about the missing letter.
It's the fourth mother letter. It's the...
Now, that is an hour teaching.
there's a precedent for it in most languages, especially ancient languages. There's the unknowable.
Well, that explains why I don't know.
For instance, in the what do you call it, like the Viking runes?
Yeah, there's an unknown.
There's what's called the blank rune.
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 R-U-N-E.
Oh, okay.
It's their runic writing.
I'll show you some upstairs.
Okay.
But it symbolizes all that is unknowable.
Yes.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
And also can mean fullness of God in the earth, number 1,000. You see, one means unity, and then you triple that, so it's fullness of God and earth. That's
I have a bad word. It's very, they're spiritual.
It's a
so it's bringing us to that.
To me, that missing letter is, it's greater than any of it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That was revealed to us. I never had teaching on that. Nobody told me that.
Well,
so
if you look at the missing letter, it looks like a crown.
Yes,
right?
It does.
Absolutely.
That's what I thought too.
Sign too.
And that also looks like DNA.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It also has incorporated in it other pieces of the alphabet.
Yes.
You can clearly see the vav. And there's a yud attached to one
mm-hmm.
part of it, so
and
there's a lot to
that.
It.
Has the four mothers mm-hmm. in that letter also. Represents the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and the four mothers in the scripture, which are the air mother, the water mother, help me, the earth mother.
And the fire mother.
Fire mother. The earth mother is who we are.
Mm.
We are actually the soul of the Christ.
It goes back to
the divine thing.
Four mothers of Israel.
Yes.
Okay.
You know anything about that? No, I had that teaching.
Well, you know that, what's his name?
Joseph.
No, not Joseph.
Not Joseph.
Abraham
yeah.
had four wives. Well, he had two wives and two concubines.
Mm-hmm.
But
no,
from those,
Joseph.
From those came the fullness of
Israel.
Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the four mothers comes in.
Okay.
the Joseph did, Abraham had three wives.
Right, sorry.
But I think he may have had a lot of wives we don't know about. We just got a little bit of scripture, is the thing.
That we don't know is
and
really.
There's so much more being revealed in this time because our hearts are being more open. Because
yeah.
We're learning to stand in the river.
Yes.
And drink like that fish. Only one of those fish could do that because Pisces had two fish.
Huh.
And one fish, I was always going along the elliptical plane with the natural flow, which was the church age.
Yeah.
But the other fish struggled to know more and have a closer, and it always
awesome.
Was pulling northward.
Oh, yeah, the stars
it's
are
just
beautiful.
Because you hadn't had the teaching
yeah.
we've all been taught or been somebody's teaching us.
Yeah, but when you say it, my spirit goes, yes.
Oh. But this fish is the one that goes to the flow and gets in the flow. But we also can, in this age, see a lot of error happening, people moving out of that flow and denying the tabernacle and saying they don't need Jesus. I mean, you're going to hear a lot of
I've seen a lot of it.
And so our little group, we're just trying to
just kinda like,
stay together and
you know,
keep our cool and not leave our
it's
foundation.
The ego that's getting you know expounded upon because they don't need God and they don't believe in God, but they are God. So they leave that part out because they're using their power.
Yeah.
Power comes from your ego, which and power also comes from money. So you got to think about that too. When you get people about, like you got Trump up there. Every one of them are
okay, I won't get into all that. We're going to do that.
I mean, no, not
but
now.
I'm just saying, and Morgan, he said
Morgan.
That earlier.
Not now.
It's so true. They're like children.
Yeah.
They're like children.